Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast. The RTC features only the best OTR on our live stream, where we also invite you to tune in and enjoy the Radio Book Channel and the RTC Music Channel, all found at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Hello and welcome to the weekly download of the Radio Theater Channel. This week we're going to do a little study for the first hour of our program. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and Rogues Gallery were both detective shows, and they both featured movie star Dick Powell as the leading character in both of them, Richard Diamond and Richard Rogue. And it will be interesting, I think, for you folks to hear how that character kind of evolved. The Rogues Gallery was the first series that featured this character, so we'll start with that from 1945, November of Little Drops of Rain.
The F.W. Fitch Company presents Dick Powell as Private Detective Richard Rogue. In Rogue's Gallery.
Rogue speaking. Well, tonight you're going to meet some charming people. And you're going to run into a little bit of very fancy murder. The name of the story is Little Drops of Rain. But before we get into our story, here's Jim Doyle, the man from the Fitch Company.
Did you know that there are over 50 million men in the United States who shave? Yes, that's a lot of men. It was in the interest of these 50 million shavers that Fitch Company chemists and technicians went to work in their laboratories and came up with Fitch's No Brush, a shaving cream especially designed to give a solid comfort shave. You see, Fitch's No Brush shaving cream contains not one, but three important shaving ingredients that work together to give you a smoother, faster shave. It also contains a special skin conditioner ingredient. Men appreciate this ingredient because it has a soothing effect on the skin the instant it's applied, and it keeps the skin feeling smooth and refreshed long after the shave is finished. Men also like the just right consistency of Fitch's No Brush. It's neither too thick nor too thin. It's not greasy and won't clog the razor.
If you're among those who prefer a lather cream, try Fitch's Brush Cream. It gives a rich, dense lather that wilts whiskers completely soft for clean, fast shaves.
Both Fitch's Brush and Fitch's No Brush shaving cream come in big 25 and 50 cent sizes. Try a jar. You'll find it easier on your razor and easier on you.
Thank you, Jim. Now, I'd like to tell my story.
Okay, here's Dick Powell as Private Detective Richard Rogue in another personally conducted tour through Rogue's Gallery.
Well, I'm still confined to my little cranked-up downy couch in the hospital, but not as still as I was last week. I am now allowed to get up and totter around a little, and I use the word totter advisedly. My legs act like strangers who have different political beliefs, and my knees have suddenly developed sideways hinges. But my nurses, my nurses. Yes, they're beautiful and tender. And resistant. And speaking of nurses, nurses are girls, and girls are my favorite pastime. And that brings me up to the girl who has done the most to confuse my life. Liza. The girl I was so sincerely in love with a couple of months ago. Liza was in to see me. She just left, and we were talking about the time when I showed up at her apartment for a date. It was raining out, and I was sitting at the piano, doodling around a little bit.
I don't want to go to a nightclub tonight, Richard. I'm too tired. Let's just go to a show, shall we?
Anything you say, baby. That's the kind of a guy I am.
I want to see Two Girls and a Sailor. It's playing at the Rialto.
June Allison's in that, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's for me, then.
You think so?
Definitely.
You think she's prettier than I am?
Well, you're not in pictures, Angel.
Do you think she's prettier than I am?
Well, you're a different type.
Are you going to answer me?
Oh, you're jealous. How can you be jealous of a girl I don't even know? Give me a kiss.
No.
Oh, but baby, I love you. I love you like anything.
Tiff.
All right. Pop then. I don't care.
June is busting out all over the meadow and the hill. Busts are busting out of bushes and the Robin River pushes every little wheel that wheels beside a mill. June is busting out all over. The feeling is getting so intense that the young Virginia creepers have been hugging the bejeepers out of all the morning glories on the fence. Because it's June, 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 June.
You're insufferable, Richard Rogue.
Oh, now quit potting. Come on over here, on the bench by me.
Are we going to a show or not?
Sure. Get your lipstick on again and we'll see what...
Oh.
I'll get it.
No, I'll answer. It's probably George.
Oh, George. Well, I'll tell him, that homewrecker. Hello.
Is Richard Rogue there?
Speaking.
This is your call service, Mr. Rogue. We got a call for you.
Oh. Who is it?
Mrs. Harvey Burgess says it's very important.
Okay, put her on.
Right.
Oh, put her on. Who is it?
Shh.
Hello?
Richard Rogue speaking.
This is Mrs. Harvey Burgess.
Yes?
I must see you at once, Mr. Rogue.
Oh, well, any time tomorrow, Mrs.
Burgess.
I must
see you tonight, immediately. It is most important.
Well, can't you tell me about it over the phone?
Oh, no. Could you come to my house at once?
What's the address?
485 Hillcrest. You'll be well paid for your time. Please hurry.
I'll be right out, Mrs. Burgess. Wait for me. I'll be right back, honey.
Go on. Go on out to see Mrs. Burgess. Don't mind me, Dick Tracy.
Well, what could I do? Mrs. Harvey Burgess was the wife of a tycoon with a dollar for every Democrat in Georgia. I tried to explain to Liza, but I was talking to myself and I left for the Burgess residence. I left Liza burning like Mrs. O'Leary's barn. The Burgess mansion was a huge colonial affair. George Washington could have slept there every night. He was at Valley Forge and never seen the same room twice. A butler who talked like he was choking to death on an olive pit conducted me into the library and into the presence of Mrs. Harvey Burgess. Oh, my. What a presence. She was sitting in front of the open fire, filling out a hostess gown that didn't straighten out any of the curves she featured. I pulled my eyes back into my head and tried not to look too interested.
Sit down, Mr. Rogue.
Oh, thank you. I'm in a bit of a hurry tonight, Mrs. Burgess. As a matter of fact,
Mr. Rogue, my husband is making a fool of himself.
Yes?
He's lost his mind completely over a secretary in his office. His secretary. A girl by the name of Helen Stark.
You mean that...
Yes, I mean he prefers her company to mine.
Well, that doesn't sound reasonable, if you'll pardon me for saying so. What do you want me to do?
Somebody has to bring Harvey back to his senses, Mr. Rogue.
Well, I'm afraid you've called in the wrong man. I'm not very good at long fatherly talks.
Oh, Mr. Rogue, please, I'm so alone.
Hey, now wait a minute. Good grief. You mean to tell me that Harvey is neglecting you? What you need to straighten Harvey out is a psychiatrist, not a detective. Harvey is definitely off his trolley.
Please, help me, Mr. Rogue.
No, Mrs. Burgess.
He's with her right this minute.
How do you know?
When he left the house tonight, I followed him. He went to the home of his best friend, Clarence Roman. I parked across the street. I was going in and faced them, but I saw Mr. Roman leave, and I lost my nerve. That's when I called you. Oh, Mr. Rogue, I want you to go out there and talk to Harvey. Tell him I know all about him and that Stark girl, and I'm suing him for divorce.
Well, that's not my kind of work, Mrs. Burgess. I'm
Please,
sorry, but
I... I don't want a divorce, Harvey. But I do want him back. Oh. And I'm sure that if you will do as I say, he'll come back. You must do it for me, Mr. Rogue. Here, oh, where is it? I have $500 here in an envelope.
You did? Well, wait a minute here. Let me see. Oh, is this it?
Yes, that's your fee. For going out there with me, Mr. Rogan, trying to bring Harvey back to his senses. You'll do it for me, won't you, Mr. Rogue?
Well, I,
You'll do it for me, won't you, Mr. Rogue?
Okay, come along. All right. Well, it seems there's nobody home.
There's my husband's convertible out in front, right where he left it tonight when I followed him out here.
How did the girl arrive?
In her car. Oh. Her car isn't here. It was right behind Harvey's.
Looks like we got here too late, doesn't it?
Try the door. I know Harvey's still here.
All right. You're an old friend of Roman's, I suppose.
Yes. Why?
I just want to know before I try to open the door. You see, there are laws against that sort of thing. Door's unlocked. Do we go in?
Yes.
Okay, after you. You know the house better than I do. Go ahead.
All right. The living room is over here.
Ah, nobody home. Look, Mrs. Burgess, we better get out of here.
No. I know Harvey's in this house someplace, and I'm going to find him. I can... What are you sniffing for?
Wait a minute. That smell in the air. You get it?
What? Oh. I don't smell anything.
You don't? I smell chloroform.
Chloroform?
Yeah. You take a look upstairs. I'm going to shake down the first floor. That smell of chloroform can mean trouble, you know.
Mr. Rogue, what do you mean? You're frightening me.
Mrs. Burgess was very fetching when she was frightened. But I calmed her down a little bit. Now, this may sound fantastic, but I've got a little bell in my head that rings an alarm every time I really get around serious trouble. And it was playing a tune that sounded too much like a death march right that minute. I had to get her out of the way. She finally went upstairs, and I went to work. I took the living room first and looked behind all the couches and in all the dark corners. I was bending over, looking under a huge Italian carved table when I thought I heard a stealthy footstep behind me.
Don't move.
Oh! Oh, my ears were still full of that ringing scream Mrs. Burgess had let out as I caught that sock behind the ear. And drifted gently through space toward cloud number 8 and my alter ego, Hugo. I was hoping he wouldn't be there, but he was. Sitting there with that silly smirk on his face, with his little short legs pulled up under his chin and his funny little arms around them, and his long white beard waving the cosmic breeze.
Hello, Richard. Welcome home.
No, shut up.
That's a fine attitude. You go prowling around a strange house and get caught at it and knocked out. Then you come up here and take it out on me. Get out of here, you ingrate.
Oh, stop acting like a landlord, Hugo. What happened to me?
Are you kidding?
Tell me, why did Mrs. Burgess scream? Answer me, Hugo. Do you know why she screamed?
Sure.
You going to tell me?
No. Find out for yourself. You're a detective.
Oh, someday I'm going to get rid of you, you little pest.
Why don't you get back to work? You got a date with Liza, you know. She's still waiting.
Yeah, that's right. Well, here goes.
Come on, Rogue. Please, come on.
You didn't have to hit him so hard, Clarence.
Oh, who hit me?
I'm Clarence Roman, Rogue. I came home, I found the front door unlocked, I walked in, I saw a strange man prowling around my parlor. A woman screamed, and I hit you with my cane.
Well, what do you carry for a cane? A ball bat? Why did you scream, Mrs. Burgess?
I found my husband upstairs. He's dead, murdered!
We'll return to our story in just a moment. But now I'd like to say something to the ladies. Do you ever feel like hanging your head in shame because your hair isn't, well, looking as nice as it should? Perhaps you get discouraged because every time you shampoo your hair, it seems dry and difficult to set. Then for your next shampoo, why not try Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo? This clear, golden liquid shampoo is made from mild coconut and vegetable oils. These pure natural oils keep your hair from becoming dry and brittle. When you use Fitch's Saponified Shampoo, you can have a shampoo as often as you like, and after each one, your hair will be soft and lustrous, easy to set into your favorite hairstyle. You'll love the glorious quantities of fragrant lather this shampoo makes. It cleanses thoroughly and then rinses out completely without a special after rinse. You see, Fitch's Saponified Shampoo contains its own patented rinsing agent. All you do is rinse with plain water, and the rinsing agent contained in the shampoo ensures the removal of all particles from your hair, making it sparkle with cleanliness. Ask for Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo at your drug counter, barber, or beauty shop. Look for the bottle with the bright yellow label. Now back to Rogue's Gallery. Richard Rogue is telling our story.
Well, I had accepted a case for Mrs. Harvey Burgess, a suspicious wife. Yes, that's the Mrs. Harvey Burgess of the Burgess Millions. She suspected her husband of having a rendezvous with Helen Stark, his secretary, at the home of Clarence Roman, Burgess's best friend, and we went out there together. Nobody answered the door, so we went in. My suspicions were aroused when I smelled the unmistakable odor of chloroform. Mrs. Burgess was looking around upstairs while I searched the downstairs. Suddenly, I heard Mrs. Burgess scream.
My husband! Upstairs! He's dead! Murdered!
Well, that snapped me out of it. I got to my feet and ran up the stairs. Mrs. Burgess and Roma were right behind me, and she directed me into the library, which was just off the main hall. And there he was, as dead as last summer's romance, with a neat little blue hole right below the part in his hair. He was a nice-looking old guy, about 50, which made him a good 25 years older than his wife. And his widow was really taking his death big, which was natural. A woman doesn't have a husband murdered every day.
Poor Harvey, this is horrible.
Has anything in this room been moved or touched?
Well, I just arrived home.
When I looked in here and saw Harvey, I knew he was dead. I screamed.
Yes, yes, I heard you. Then you ran right downstairs.
Yes,
huh?
I saw Mr. Roman hit you, and I ran down to tell him who you were.
That's a little late. Okay. Just don't touch anything. Stay right there in the door, both of you.
Just who are you to be giving us orders?
You'll find out. You ever see this gun before?
Yes.
Where?
It was Harvey's. He kept it in his desk at the office.
Oh, you recognize it mighty quickly. How?
It has his initials on it. I can see them from here, inset in the butt of the gun.
Oh. His gun, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't suicide. Not with the gun clear over here on the opposite side of the room. This is murder. Hey.
What's the matter?
Well, this ought to do it.
What is it?
What's your handkerchief? A very nice linen handkerchief with initials in the corner. And blood on it.
What initials?
H.S.
Helen Stark, that's her handkerchief. She killed Harvey. She killed my Harvey.
Is there a phone upstairs here?
Yes, you'll find an extension in the hall.
Thanks. Come on out of this room. I don't want anything touched or moved.
Oh, no. Dear, please.
You two wait for me downstairs. I'll be down just a minute. As soon as I call the police.
Homicide, Urban speaking.
Hello, Urban. Richard Rogue.
Yeah, who's dead?
Harvey Burgess, wise guy.
Hmm? You mean it? You
You mixed up in another murder, Rogie?
Sure. You'd never find a body if it wasn't for me.
Where are you?
At the residence of Clarence Roman on Cypress Avenue, 2120. Better get the boys and get out here.
Be right there. Got any leads on the killer?
Yeah, a couple of vague ideas.
Stay there until I get there, Rogue.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Liza, Dolly. This is Rogie.
Oh, you know what time it is.
Oh, sure, honey,
I'll give you 10 minutes to get back here and take me to that show.
What? Oh. Look, Roman. Roman, the cops will be here in a minute. Tell Urban, that's Lieutenant Urban. He'll be in charge for the police, that I'll be right back, will you? Tell him I went out to get a murderess for him.
Of course. And I hope you managed to catch her, Rogue.
Yes?
Good evening. Is Helen Stark at home?
I beg your pardon. I'm a bit deaf. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, I said, is Helen Stark at home?
Oh, Helen, no, she isn't home this evening.
Has she been home? I say, has she been home in the last hour?
No, she hasn't. I don't know what time to expect her either, but I imagine she'll be home soon, though.
You know where she is?
Well, she didn't come home from the office tonight. She's working late.
Oh, she called you and told you she wouldn't be home.
Yes. She said she was going to work with Mr. Burgess. That's her boss, you know, the millionaire.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Could I tell her who called?
No. That won't be necessary. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Mr. Stark. You and Helen live here all alone?
Yes, since her mother died several years ago. Are you an old friend of Helen's?
No, a very recent acquaintance.
Oh.
I'm sorry I bothered you, Mr. Stark. Good night.
Good evening. Nice out after the rain, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, that nice little old guy. It was going to be tough for him to realize that his daughter was a killer. I hated the world as I walked down the steps from that porch and started for my car. I don't like murder. It upsets so many people who aren't involved in the act or the reasons for it. Yeah, I guess I'm a chicken-hearted patsy. But if I am, I'm glad. Anyway, I was walking down the walk when that little bell rang in my massive intellect again. I noticed something peculiar. There were tire tracks running into the Stark garage. It had only stopped raining about 45 minutes before, and if that car had been driven into the garage while it was still raining, there would be no tracks. They would have been washed away. Now, very peculiar. I ran up the driveway and opened the overhead garage door. Then I jumped back. The garage was full of carbon monoxide. I wet my handkerchief in a puddle of rainwater, held it over my nose, and ran into the garage. I wrestled the door of the small coupe open and saw a young girl, unconscious, slumped over the steering wheel. I pulled her out of there. She was dead weight, and carried her into the house.
Oh, Helen. Helen.
I'm afraid it's a little late for that, Mr. Stark. Where's your telephone?
In the hall. Right in the hall.
Thanks. I'll get a pull motor squad out here right away.
Fire department.
Get a pull motor squad to 640 Inglewood Drive. Attempted suicide. Bad shape. Rush it.
Right.
Raymond, Ramsey, Redding, Roman. Roman, Clarence.
Hello?
Hello, Lieutenant Urban, please. This is Richard Rogue, and it's important.
This is Urban speaking, Rogue. I thought I told you to stay here.
Look, never mind the argument. Get out here to 640 Inglewood Drive. I've got Helen Stark for you.
You have? Nice work. I want to talk to that young lady.
Well, you missed the boat. I think she's dead. Suicide. Carbon monoxide poisoning. Step on it.
Okay, Rogue, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Don't go away.
I gave Helen Stark my own interpretation of artificial respiration until the pull motor squad got there. Urban arrived on the heels of the fire department, and we went out and looked around in the garage, made some fascinating discoveries, too. The car had run out of gas and stopped turning over, for one thing, and one thing led to another, to coin a phrase. Anyway, Urban and I made a little deal. I went back to the Roman residence, and while he and his boys were being scientific, I sat in the parlor and talked with Mrs. Burgess and Clarence Roman. Mrs. Burgess had recovered her poise to some extent. They were both very anxious to know all about my daring capture of the Stark girl.
I'm glad she's dead. I couldn't stand a trial. I'm glad she committed suicide.
Yes, I guess it seemed like the only way out. She wasn't very smart about murder, leaving clues all over the place the way she did. Even the cops would have had her in 24 hours. How well did you know the Stark girl, Roman?
Rather well. I'd see her around the office a great deal. Harvey was, well, not very discreet about the fact that he was fond of her.
Please, Clarence. Harvey's dead. We should forget those things. He was a good husband. I don't know what life's going to be like without him.
I just have an idea that it's going to be pretty simple, Mrs. Burgess. And possibly rather short.
What do you mean?
I mean that the police suspected you and Mr. Roman murdered your husband and Miss Stark.
That's a serious accusation, Rogue.
Your husband was suing you for divorce, wasn't he, Mrs. Burgess? He knew you were going to be there with Mr. Roman, his best friend, tonight. So he came and surprised you with Helen Stark for a witness, didn't he? And you, Mr. Roman, you killed him, and then you had to kill Helen Stark to shut her up.
This is preposterous.
Sit down, Roman.
You were right, Rogie. We found Roman's fingerprints on the steering wheel of Helen Stark's car. One of the boys just got back with a report that Roman's shoe is a perfect fit in that shoe print outside Stark's garage.
I had nothing to do with it. Clarence killed Harvey, and then he chloroformed that Stark girl, and then...
You're in this as far as I am. Shut up! I've got more news for you, Roman. Helen Stark isn't dead. The car ran out of gas just in time. She'll be there to appear against you when you're tried for murder. Liza, honey,
I don't want to talk to you, Richard Rogue. I'm busy.
Oh, now, honey.
The lady says she's busy.
Yeah? Who are you?
His name is George. Good night, chump.
Ah, little drops of rain. The stuff we're getting so much of out here in California right now saved Helen Stark's life. Because if I hadn't noticed those tire tracks, she'd have stayed in the garage until it was too late for the pull motor squad to save her. Yes, sir. Little drops of rain put the curse on what was almost a perfect double murder. With the help of my massive intellect. There's only one thing I can't understand. How come a guy as smart as I am gets hit on the head so often? Answer me that, will you? This is Dick Powell again, ladies and gentlemen. How did you like our little story tonight? Ray Buffum wrote it, Leith Stevens composed and conducted the music, and Dee Engelbach produced and directed. Don't forget to tune in next Thursday night. We're going to present a strange story of a house where everybody was scared. We call it the House of Fear. So make a date with us, will you? Thanks for listening, and good night, all. Now here's Jim Doyle.
Don't forget to tune in again next Thursday, same time, same station, when you will again hear Dick Powell as Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery. Remember, if dandruff is your problem, ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Removes dandruff the first time it is used. Bitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo is the only shampoo whose guarantee to remove dandruff is backed by one of the world's largest insurance companies. This statement can be made by no other shampoo. Ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo at your drug counter, barber, or beauty shop. Fitch is spelled F-I-T-C-H.
Folks, when we see a wounded veteran, we can thank him with our eyes and with a smile. We can also thank him in more material ways, like helping make sure he gets all the benefits of the GI Bill of Rights. That takes money, the money we lend when we buy victory bonds. Buy victory bonds.
And that's Richard Rogue on Rogue's Gallery, Little Drops of Rain, from November of 1945. And now we're going to skip ahead to 1950, and Richard Diamond, private detective, with Mrs. X can't find her husband. This is from June 21st, 1950.
Listen while the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist, speaking to you for the 10,000 independent druggists who have made the word Rexall part of our own store names, and who recommend and sell the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. Like MI-31, for example, Rexall's popular mouthwash, gargle, and breath deodorant. Full-strength MI-31 kills contacted germs in seconds. Its zippy, tangy quality leaves a happy aftertaste. For a reliable yet refreshing mouthwash, use Rexall MI-31. And remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Now your Rexall family druggist brings you a transcribed half hour with Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell. Dick's special guest star tonight is what was your name again?
I'm sorry, but I really can't tell you.
You can't tell me? Well, Rexall brings you Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell.
Well, morning, Mr. Diamond.
Morning, Charlie. Now, fix me something, will you?
Like that, huh? You look pretty good.
Oh, you should have seen me when I got up. Both my heads were hissing each other.
I'll fix you my special. You snap right out of it.
Well, take it easy. I tried snapping out of it this morning and scattered myself all over the room.
You relax for a minute. Just getting to work?
Yeah. Helen gave a party last night. I think it turned out to be the finals of the roller derby. Have a swallow a roller skate, Charlie.
Once on a dare, a mouse.
Oh.
Sorry.
Charlie!
Gotta mix it.
Oh, that's a horrible machine to have in a bar. Some poor guy's liable to end up with shell shock.
Here. Hold your breath so you don't change your mind.
What's in it?
In your condition, that is a very touchy question. You just drink it, you'll feel better.
Okay.
No fudging all the way.
Charlie!
All the way? What are you, chicken?
Oh, I knew it. You snitched this stuff from a fire extinguisher.
Tastes terrible, don't it?
What are you going to thaw me out with, a chisel?
Now I know it ain't that bad.
No? A mortician would pay good money for the formula.
Well, look what came in the front door.
Oh, yes, sir.
Pardon me, but I'm looking for someone.
There's nobody here but me and Mr. Diamond.
Here's a picture of him. Has he been in here?
Oh, lady, a lot of people come in here.
No, I mean this morning.
Mr. Diamond's my first customer.
Oh.
Something wrong, miss?
I've just got to find him. I don't know where to look.
What made you think he'd be in here?
I'm trying every place that's open. I lost him in this block someplace.
Lost him?
Well, he just disappeared.
Who is he?
My husband.
Oh.
I stopped to look at some hats in a window. Started talking about how pretty they were, and the next thing I turned around and he was gone.
You called home?
We're living at a hotel. He hasn't shown up there. I've called everyone I know in New York.
You're from out of town?
Yes. Oh, I'm so worried.
Well, honey, from this picture, your husband looks old enough to find his way around. Why don't you go on back to the hotel and...
You don't understand. My husband had quite a shock earlier this morning, and he was acting strangely.
So you figure he might have gone looking for a drink?
I don't know what I thought. It isn't like him to wander off like that. I'm so worried.
Well, if you're that upset, why don't you go to the law? Missing persons.
I thought about that, but I can't.
You can't go to the police?
I can't explain why. It just wouldn't be good.
Would you mind a completely new remark?
What?
Haven't I seen you before, Miss...
No.
Nice name.
Mr. Diamond sees a lot of people. Used to be a cop himself.
Oh.
Private detective now.
Private detective?
Seems to me I've seen your husband someplace before, too. Is this an old picture?
Yes, I carry it around in my wallet. Are you really a private detective, Mr.
Diamond, miss.
Like Sam Spade?
Well, no, no. Sam drinks and runs around with women. I lead a rather sheltered life. Steady, Charlie.
Mr. Diamond, I'm really frightened. I'm sure something awful's happened to my husband. Will you help me?
I might, if you tell me two things.
What are they?
Why you can't go to the police, and if you can afford $100 a day in expenses.
Oh, I can afford the money.
You should have answered the first question first. Now I'm almost tempted to forget the last one.
But I can't go to the police.
Dear, when people can't go to the police, it worries me. Your old man got a record or something?
A record?
Well, I've seen both of you someplace. You sure you aren't working some kind of a racket?
Oh.
Now, lady, take it easy.
I lose my husband. I come in here for help, and you think I'm some sort of a criminal or something.
Look, dear,
I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't want to go to the police, and it has nothing to do with breaking the law.
Shame on you, Diamond. Here, lady, here's a handkerchief.
Thank you.
Look, I'm sorry.
No, you're not. You're terrible.
Oh, please, please. Look, I'm in pretty bad shape myself. Okay, I'll help you.
Wonderful, Mr. Diamond. Where can we talk?
Hey, she turns them off like a hydrant.
You'll help me?
Oh, yes. $100 a day in expenses.
Certainly.
Get her.
Yeah. You sure you didn't dip into one of Charlie's specials?
I don't drink.
This isn't drinking. It's like diving into an active volcano.
Where can we talk?
One of the booths.
Good. I don't want anyone else to know about this.
You mean after this buildup, I ain't even gonna hear what it's all about?
Come on, dear.
Oh.
Relax, Charlie. Have one of your specials. Who knows? You may be the first one to reach the moon.
Is this booth all right, Mr. Diamond?
Just fine. Now sit down, dear, and tell me all about it.
Well, there's really not much to tell. I took my husband to the... Well, to an appointment this morning.
What kind of an appointment?
I can't tell you.
And you can't tell me your husband's name?
No.
Not even his first name?
Well, I guess I could tell you his first name. It's Richard.
Richard?
Yes.
You can't tell me anymore?
No.
You want me to find him and you want me to trust you?
If you will.
Will you trust me?
Yes.
Then I'll try and find Richard, but I'll need some help.
I'll try.
No, please. I'll need some outside help.
Who?
A policeman.
Oh, no, I told you.
And I told you. You want me to trust you? Okay, that's what I'm going to do, but you got to trust me, too.
But the police...
If you and your husband aren't in trouble with the police, you got nothing to worry about.
But the police...
Not the police, a policeman, one man.
But he'll find out why Richard disappeared.
Well, don't you want to know why?
I know why, but I don't want anyone else to know why.
You don't want anyone else? You know why, but you... Oh, don't let me do this to myself.
I just want to find him.
Okay. I promise the policeman won't say anything. I'm trusting that you have a good reason for not telling me any more than you have, but to find a man, this man in the picture and an old photograph at that, to find this man needs a lot of doing. Checking hospitals.
Hospitals?
Now, don't start crying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
When you've got to check hospitals, morgues...
Morgues!
Look, dear. You wait here.
No, I'm going with you.
Good girl.
Charlie! Thank you for being so patient.
A pleasure, miss.
Shall we go, Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, yeah. And Charlie?
Yeah?
I'd like to thank you, too.
Anytime.
Your hospitality and good manners are only equaled by your loyalty and perspicacity.
Huh?
All in all, you've been a living doll. Being a person who lives out in left field most of the time myself, I realized that these little disturbances in my life were pretty average. So with cute little Anonymous tagging along behind, I left Charlie's fancy bistro and headed for the 5th Precinct Police Station and the good Lieutenant Levinson. When we walked into the squad room, we bumped right into the one thing that science had been working 24 hours a day to find a cure for. Well, good afternoon, Sergeant Otis.
Oh, how are you, Diamond? Hey.
Oh, unpucker, Otis. Mrs. X will think the lieutenant uses you to unstop sinks.
Mrs. X? What kind of a name is that?
You want to meet the lady? That's the name.
Mrs. X?
How do you do, Sergeant?
Oh, hey, ain't I seen you someplace before?
Otis, haven't I seen you someplace before?
Now, what are you talking about, Chama? Sure you've seen me before.
Mr. Diamond.
Yeah, but this is nothing. Stick around him for a whole day sometime. Come on, let's see the lieutenant.
I'll see you later, Mrs.
Yes, Sergeant. It's been a pleasure.
Otis.
Yeah?
Your eyes are hanging out so far they cover your badge.
Oh.
Hello, Walt.
Hi, Rick. I'm...
Yeah. This is Mrs. X, Walt. Dear, this is the mighty arm of the law, Lieutenant Levinson.
How do you do, Lieutenant?
How do you do, Mrs. X?
Oh, let's not go into this thing again. The young lady prefers to be known as Mrs. X. Now, Walt, I want you to do me a favor.
Yeah, young lady, haven't I seen you someplace before?
Yeah, Walt, even Otis is with us on that one. I said the same thing when she found me in Charlie's bar. Now, the young lady's lost her husband, and I'm going to help her find him. Here's his picture. See if you got anything.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure I haven't seen you?
Walt, we'll solve that one later. The picture. Go make like a policeman.
Okay. She got a record?
Lieutenant.
Oh, well, I never forget her face.
He's been trying to ever since he got Otis. Now, come on, Walt. Get a report for missing persons. Check the hospitals and the morgue.
The morgue?
Lady, please.
It's a habit. Honey, we gotta do these things just in case.
But you think he's...
Give me that picture. Lady, please. Now, what's your husband's name?
She can't tell you that, Walt.
What do you mean she can't tell me that?
I can't.
Now, you look, Diamond, if this is one of your...
His first name is Richard.
Richard what?
That's something I really can't tell you. I wouldn't have told Mr. Diamond the Richard part, but it just sort of slipped out.
No way. What are you two trying to do to me? You come in here and ask me to locate this guy in the picture, and you won't even tell me his last name?
Look, Walt, I promise you'll do me the favor without the questions. The young lady seems to have a very good reason for not wanting to give her name or her husband's. Now, all I want you to do is check the morgues.
What's the matter with her?
She wants her husband.
Yes, I want my husband.
Before we continue with the adventures of Richard Diamond, private detective, here's your Rexall family druggist.
It's always a pleasure when a customer herself tells you why she likes your product. And last week, one said to me,
"You know why I really prefer Rexall Milk of Magnesia? It's because one bottle won't be so thick I can't even pour it, and then the next one thin and watery. Somehow, Rexall Milk of Magnesia always seems to be just right."
Well, ma'am, that's because every bottle of Rexall Milk of Magnesia has to meet an exacting standard of viscosity, or it can't wear the Rexall label.
What do you mean by viscosity?
It's the degree of thickness or pourability in a liquid. Rexall conducts scientifically precise tests on every batch of Rexall Milk of Magnesia to be sure it meets this constant standard of viscosity. And that's not done just to please you with its consistency. What's much more important, it means you'll always get uniform dosage from every bottle of Rexall Milk of Magnesia.
And I thought it was all an accident.
Oh, no, ma'am. There are no accidents behind the fact. You can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
And now back to tonight's adventure with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Well, I checked, and no one that looks like this guy is in any of the more usual places.
Well, that's fine. Now let's start looking for him where I lost him, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, swell. Well, Walt, we really just stopped by to say hello. Killing time, you know.
Sure.
I appreciate everything you've done, Captain.
Lieutenant.
Of course. Thank you very much. But now Mr. Diamond and I have to go and find my husband.
Richard.
Yes.
I think you'd better wait a few minutes.
What for?
Yes, we've got to hurry. I've got to find my husband before the 8 o'clock plane leaves this evening.
You're leaving tonight?
You didn't tell me that.
Well, Richard has to be in California by tomorrow morning.
Got a little job to do?
A very big job, Captain.
Lieutenant.
Well, what do you want us to wait for?
Because I've got Otis checking on this girl, this Mrs. X.
Oh, no.
Walt, you promised.
I promised nothing. You assumed.
Oh, you're a fine buddy.
Buddy schmuddy. You might be taken in by her sweet innocence, but not me.
You double-crossed
Mr. Diamond, you promised.
But I didn't, lady. I just checked the morgues. Oh, now you shut up.
Walt.
Well, I never.
I've seen this girl someplace, Rick, and I've got a sneaking suspicion she's wanted.
Wanted?
You can't cross me like this, Fatty.
Wanted?
Won't tell me your name, huh?
No.
Won't tell me your husband's name, huh?
No.
Then you're hiding something.
Yes.
Yes?
Y-E-S, meaning of course.
Now you stop that, Rick.
Rick. Is your name Richard, too, Mr. Diamond?
No, my friends call me Rick.
You ever in Chicago, lady?
Of course.
Of course?
O-F-C-O-U-R-S-E.
You stay out of this. You run around with Tony Capone when you were in Chicago?
You talking to me?
I'm talking to her.
Well, I'm glad. Tony never gave me back my elk's tooth.
Well, I don't know why you're talking to me, Captain. I never gave Mr. Capone an elk's tooth.
Oh.
It's Lieutenant, dear. You gotta stop promoting him. You'll get a swell head.
Oh, you rat!
You call me Lieutenant?
No!
Gee, don't scare me like that. I got something on this picture you gave me.
Her husband?
Yeah. Hello, Mrs. X.
Hello, Corporal.
Otis.
Oh, yeah. You won't like it, Lieutenant.
I won't like what?
What I got on this picture.
Something's happened to Richard.
Now, take it easy.
Well, what did you find out? I'll tell you whether I like it or not.
Well, I sent it down to the boys in the morgue.
No!
No!
Oh, now look what you've done, you mallet head.
Well, gee, what did I say?
Yes, send morgue.
Oh, no.
Now, honey, listen. This morgue is where they keep photographs.
Oh.
Well, what did they come up with, Sergeant?
She sure looks pretty when she cries like that.
Otis.
Well, I shall quote from the report. Person in said photograph resembles one Richard Diamond, private detective.
What did you say?
Come to think of it, you do, Mr. Diamond.
I shall continue. Member of the New York police force for 7 years. Height 6'1". 190.
80.
The general conformation of the head. Note. Right ear...
Order, shut up!
Oh, it gets real interesting. You didn't tell me about getting mixed up with that fan dancer back in 39, Diamond.
I was simply interested in starting an ostrich farm. Otis.
Yeah?
Do you think that picture looks like Mr. Diamond?
Kinda.
Thank you, Patrolman Lovelo.
Patrolman?
Yes, and if I ever catch you wearing a sergeant's stripes again, I'll put you on a beat so far out they'll have to fly food into you. Now get out of here.
Sergeant Levinson.
Lady, please, it's Lieutenant.
Well, I don't care what it is. I think you were just horrible to that nice little policeman.
Is that right?
It certainly is. And I'm going to write a letter to the governor about you.
Now, wait a minute.
And what's more, I'm going to tell him what a horrible, mean, impolite person you are.
But...
I come in here with Mr. Diamond, and simply because I won't tell you my name, you accuse me of being a mop.
Mop?
Yes, mop. One of those gangsters' girls.
Mal.
Yes. And just because everyone thinks they've seen me before, I'm accused of all sorts of things.
But, lady, I...
No telling what's happened to my poor, wonderful husband.
Lady, please, lady.
You big bully.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Can Sergeant Loveloon have his stripes back?
Yes.
No, thank you very much. Come on, Mr. Diamond. We've got to find Richard. Goodbye, Major.
Well, I was in it up to my neck.
Any other time, a client like Mrs. X would have scared me right into 4 months of hibernation. But she was such a cute little screwball that I just had to go along with it. We took the picture that looked something like yours truly and started making the rounds. Starting with the last place Mrs. X had seen her husband, we showed the picture to every shop owner within a four-block circle, but no one had seen him. Mrs. X kept checking with the hotel, making me stay at a good distance so I couldn't hear the conversation. But no one had seen her husband. We ended up right back where I first ran into her, Charlie's.
Well, find him?
No.
Look, dear, why don't you check again with this place that you and your husband went to this morning for his business appointment? Maybe you went back there.
Well, I guess I could try it again.
Phone in the back on the wall.
Thanks, I'll call him.
No luck, Diamond?
No. How do I get into these things, Charlie?
When someone wants to give you $100 a day in expenses, you get into them. Phone.
Brilliant deduction.
Hello?
A little lady will get it.
Mr. Diamond?
Yeah?
It's for you. Captain Levinson.
You've been promoted?
Several times in the last hour.
You think he's heard something about Richard?
Might be. Yeah, what is it, Fatty?
I thought you might be there.
What made you think of Charlie's?
Well, it's pretty obvious you had a hangover.
Well, maybe I stuck a bicycle pump in my nose and pumped up my head just to get a laugh out of Otis. You'll have to do better than that.
You told me you met the girl at Charlie's.
Shrewd, shrewd.
Is it something important?
Honey, just relax. I'm getting to it.
But if it's about Richard?
The girl there?
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't know if it means anything, but we just got a report from the Johnson Sanatorium.
Johnson Sanatorium? Never heard of it.
Over on 84th Street.
The missing husband?
I don't know. The report fitted his description, but who knows from that old photograph.
Well, it's worth checking. What's the address?
644 East 84th Street. Seems they found this guy wandering around the streets.
Johnson Sanatorium, 644 East 84th Street, huh? Did he give his name?
Amnesia, loss of memory. Seemed to be suffering from shock. Thought I'd let you get there first. I'm kind of sorry for the girl when I realized her story might be kosher.
Okay, Walt, I'll check it, thanks.
Meet you there.
Well, honey, that might be... Hey. Hey. Charlie.
Yeah?
Mrs. X, where'd she go?
Took out of here like she was shot out of a gun. Something wrong?
When are you going to stop asking stupid questions? Well, that tore it. Mrs. X was probably on her way over to the Johnson Sanatorium and with a good head start. So I went out and grabbed a cab for 84th Street and kicked myself a dozen times for getting mixed up in a situation like that. Why not forget the whole thing and get some rest until my head returned to a normal circumference? Answer, because I'd wasted a whole afternoon looking for the missing husband and hadn't even got a retainer.
Yes, sir. Is something I can do for you, perhaps?
I'm looking for the man you reported as...
Hello, Rick.
Oh, Walt. Have you seen Mrs. X?
I just this minute got her. She's been and gone.
What about the guy you got the report on?
Took him with her.
The young lady came in, took a look at the man, claimed it was her husband, paid his bill and left.
You let him go like that? I thought the man had amnesia.
Well, yes, he was suffering from some kind of shock and had temporarily lost his memory.
But you just let him walk out of here with...
Rick, let him finish your story.
The minute the man saw the young lady, he snapped right out of it. She said they had to hurry to catch a plane or something, had a lot of packing to do.
Did she give her name?
Yes, he signed the release.
Here, let me see it.
Now, take it easy, Rick. It's signed Mrs. Richard Diamond.
She used my name?
Is that your name?
You're darn right it is. She leave any address?
Phony, I checked.
Oh, swell.
I'll cover the airports if it'll make you happy.
Oh, it'll make me very happy. She did nothing for my hangover. She didn't pay me one red cent for my trouble, and I think I may be getting hives. Oh, I'm going over to Helen's and have a complete nervous breakdown.
How do you feel now?
Oh, I'm all right, Helen, dear, but my ulcers just had a parade.
Any word from Walt?
No.
Miss Helen?
Yes, what is it, Francis?
A young lady at the door for Mr. Diamond.
I'll get it.
I'll bet you will.
Wow.
Hello, Mr. Diamond.
Now, look, I've got something to say to you.
I can't stop to talk. My husband's waiting in the car, and we have to catch a plane.
Now, you look,
I want to thank you very much for all you've done, and I want to apologize for running out on you.
But your husband...
He's fine, thank you. He just lost his memory for a while.
Now, I'm not gonna...
I haven't got time to tell you anymore. We've got to catch a plane.
But you...
Oh, I said that. Here's an envelope.
But I...
It explains everything, and there's something in it for you.
But you can't...
And here's something else, because you've been so wonderful.
But...
I hope if you ever get to California, you'll look us up.
Goodbye, and thank you again for everything. You're wonderful. Bye.
Well? All right, Blue Eyes, what was that all about?
Oh, no, that was her. The girl.
The girl?
Mrs. X.
What's that?
Oh, it's an envelope. Said it would explain everything.
I hope it does, especially that fond farewell.
Oh, that. She was just being grateful.
Yeah. Go on, open the envelope.
Pardon, Miss Helen. Now it's the phone. Lieutenant Levinson for Mr. Diamond.
I better tell him about the girl.
You'd better read what's in that envelope.
Hello, Walt.
Rick, that dame phoned notice. Asked where she could find you.
Oh, that's how she's found the place.
Yeah, the melonhead told her you might be over at Helen's. Gave her... She's been there?
Just left. And she left an envelope that she said would explain everything.
Well, what did it say?
I haven't read it.
Well, read it. I want to know what this is all about.
So does Helen.
Well?
Well?
$500.
The explanation?
What about the letter?
Well, it says, Dear Mr. Diamond, I know that I've caused you a great deal of trouble, so I wish to take this opportunity
to thank you for your patience and understanding. As for an explanation, well, here it is. But I count on your discretion and hope that you will keep my secret. This morning, my husband and I went to a doctor because I hadn't been feeling well. We discovered and were overjoyed to find out that I was going to have a baby. Immediately, I informed my husband that I had decided to give up working until after I had the baby. The realization that I wasn't going to make any more money for the rest of the year was too much for him. The shock made him lose his mind, and he just wandered off. Although he has recovered his memory, the thought of having to support us both for the rest of the year has left him nervous and despondent. So I'm taking him back to the coast to the family psychiatrist.
I wish to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your kindness and help. Signed,
Sign who?
Rick!
Helen, what's wrong?
He's fainted.
What?
He looked at the signature on the letter and just flopped over.
Well, what about the signature?
It's signed June Allison.
Again, here's your Rexall family druggist.
Whenever you have a headache, remember this about Rexall aspirin. When taken with water, the 5 full grains of pure aspirin in every Rexall tablet are ready to go to work for you even before they reach your stomach. Yes, whenever you have a headache, remember that about Rexall aspirin. Ask for it at Rexall drugstores everywhere. And remember always, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, stars Dick Powell in the title role and is written by Blake Edwards with music composed and conducted by Frank Worth. June Allison appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and will soon be seen co-starring with Dick Powell in the MGM motion picture Right Cross. Featured in tonight's cast were Virginia Gregg, Ted DeCorsia, Wilms Herbert, and Bob Sweeney. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. This is Bill Foreman inviting you to be with us next Wednesday at this time when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Hiya, beautiful.
Get lost, Bristlepuss. You need a shave.
But I have shaved. What else do you want me to do?
Silly boy, she wants you to go stag.
Go stag? But why?
Because Stag is Rexall's exclusive line of men's good grooming aids, like Stag Brushless Shave Cream. No fuss, no massage, just smooth it on, and presto, you get a clean, close shave. Your face stays smooth and whiskerless all day long.
I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll go Stag.
That's it. Join the Stag line now at Rexall drugstores everywhere.
Yes, to make girls care, go Stag.
Bill Bendix leads The Life of Riley again Friday on NBC.
Now it's time for a plug for our favorite internet radio station. That, of course, is the Radio Theater Channel, playing the premier old-time radio programs and doing a good job of it every single day. Why don't you join the crowd that's listening in? Go to www.oldtimeradiolisten.com and push the listen button and become one of the many who are reliving old-time radio every single day. Well, it's the last program for this podcast, and I think we'll lighten the mood a bit, even lighter than Richard Diamond. With Red Skelton from 1942, this show's called Victory Gardens.
A Raleigh Cigarette program from Hollywood, starring Red Skelton, with Oz and Nelson and his orchestra, Harriet Hilliard, and yours truly, Truman Bradley. Smokers, any cigarette can claim superiority, but we give you proof. Proof of Raleigh's outstandingly high quality that you can plainly see for yourself. Compare the open ends of a pack of Raleigh cigarettes with any other brand. You'll see instantly that the tobaccos in Raleigh's are unmistakably more golden in color. And that speaks quality in the tobacco business. Any expert will tell you the more golden tobaccos are choicer, more expensive. Yes, smokers, you can make this test yourself. You can prove to yourself that Raleigh's do give you the better tobaccos. And Raleigh's give you valuable coupons, too, redeemable for premiums, war stamps, or cash. Truly, Raleigh's offer you more than any other cigarette. Next time, why not try Raleigh's? And now we bring you the star of our Raleigh cigarette show, Red Skelton.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Red, what's cooking?
I don't know, but I'll bet it didn't come in cans.
What have you been doing all week?
Well, you know, you're now looking at Victory Garden Skelton.
Tell me, how much Victory Garden have you got?
1 acre. It's my back.
Well, the secret to a successful Victory Garden is not to plant more than you can care for. Things really grow fast out here in California, don't they, Red?
Yeah, I'll say, you don't even have to plant anything. You just hold the seed in your hand, the ground comes up and snaps at it. No kidding, I planted some beans last week. And this morning, they're halfway to Boston.
Red, tell me, how about tomatoes?
No, I'm going home early tonight.
No, I'm talking about your Victory Garden.
Oh, say, have you got a Victory Garden, Truman?
Yes, sir, indeed I have. Everyone should have a Victory Garden,
really?
Especially this year, because 1/4 of our total food production in 1943 will be needed for our armed forces and to help our allies.
Oh.
Hiya, Red.
Hiya, Harriet.
Oh, boy, am I tired. I've been working my garden.
Yeah?
Yeah, Ozzie was helping me. I dug up the garden and raked the soil and dug the holes and planted the seeds.
Wait a minute, what did Ozzie do?
Oh, he prayed for rain. Say, not only have I got vegetables, but you should see the fruit I'm getting, too.
Yeah, me too. You know, in my yard, I've got lemons, tangerines, and kumquats.
What's a kumquat, Ray?
Well, in California, that's just another name for a Florida orange.
Hiya, folks.
Hello, Ozzie. Harriet was telling me about your Victory Garden.
Yeah, it's fun to have your own garden. Yeah. And besides, Victory Gardens reduce the demand of commercial food supplies, and that leaves more for everyone.
Now, how's your garden doing?
Well, everything was all right until last week when the rains came.
The rains came. What happened? Did your garden wash away?
Oh, no. But I just opened the back door and waited for the right vegetable to flow past.
Say, I thought it never rained in California, Red.
Well, all I know is I went to the door and a fella handed me a letter from the Chamber of Commerce.
What did it say?
It says, "Dear Mr. Skelton, regardless of all that stuff you see running down the gutter, it does not rain in California."
And then what happened?
Oh, he got back in his boat and paddled away.
Well, you know, raising your own vegetables will help you during this point rationing.
Yeah, what do you mean, Harriet?
Well, we're still using the stuff we grew last year. I put it up in bottles last summer.
You know, I put my stuff next to my uncle's bottled goods in the wine cellar.
What happened?
Well, did you ever open up a can of cherries and have them throw your arms, their arms around you and say, "What you doing, big boy?"
Say, have you had any trouble with gophers, Red?
No, they're all right if you cook them long enough.
No, I mean, have the gophers been eating your vegetables?
Yeah, I'll say they have, and boy, are they fresh. One gopher grabbed my radish, and he looked up at me, and he says, "Well, don't stand there, stupid. Pass the salt."
He borrows all my newest shirts and wears my sharpest ties. He even lends my car out to a dozen other guys. If I should try to get a ride, I get the well-known thumb from my old chum. I try to get a night of rest, I even lock the door, but he brings in a party that swings out till 3 or 4. Who winds up sleeping in my bed while I sleep on the floor? My old chum. We make a blind date with a couple of girls to dine at some fancy-priced grill. I always wind up with the homely one, and of course I'm the guy who pays the bill. I thought I'd found the one girl who could never be surpassed. I even got to thinking, this is real romance at last. Then I found she'd run away with just another bum. My old chum.
She wears my finest evening gowns, gets runners in my hose, and uses my pet powder puff to dull her shiny nose. My mail is opened by mistake, but she knows who it's from. She's my old chum. She broadcasts all my secrets, but to everyone in town, and splashes in my fine perfume. It really gets me down. She beats me to the kitchen, and she leaves me not a crumb. That's my old chum. She tells me she simply adores my new hat. She says, "My dear, it's too, too divine." Then says to all my friends, "Is she kidding with that?" But then, after all, what can you expect for $1.49? While glancing through this morning's pictures on the social page, I saw the Duke of something or other, the newest social rage. And standing right beside the Duke, but standing well upstage, was my old chum.
That was My Old Chum, sung by Harriet Nosey and dedicated to the 364th Infantry.
Well, say, Red, outside of playing army camps in the desert and working in your victory garden, what else did you do last week?
Well, I started my spring cleaning. I took down my woolen drapes and I washed them in boiling water.
Now, Red, hot water shrinks wool and makes the colors run.
Yeah, you know anybody wants to buy a piece of plaid Kleenex?
Say, aren't you starting your spring cleaning just a little too early?
No, everybody's cleaning house now. You take Clem, the fellow from the country. He started cleaning up his farm last week and had quite a job, too. He was walking. Well, here I am.
foot two, I the blue. Do 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 do. Yes, their eyes are blue and nothing between them but a blank expression. Boy, do I hate spring cleaning. I wish Daisy June was here. I'd pretend I was sick and make her do the work for me. Oh, don't laugh. I bet some of you guys pull the same trick. I bet that's another one of those OPA men working his way through college. I'll just take this baseball bat, and if he puts his foot through the door, I'll let him hit it. I don't want any.
Hello, Clem?
Will Daisy.
Are you gonna take me?
Well,
I bought the ticket.
Sure. Boy, there's nothing I like better than free dancing.
Well, Clem, ain't you gonna invite me in?
Yeah, I'm kind of busy cleaning my house, you know.
Well, you ain't doing a very good job. Look, I can write my name in the dust on this plow in the hall.
You can? Gee, education's a wonderful thing, ain't it?
Well, what'd you look at it? Was you expecting me to help you?
Now, she ought to know better than that. Yep, and which one of these bottles is floor polish?
Well, this one's floor polish, and the other one's hair restorer.
Okay.
Now, why did you break that good bottle of hair restorer?
Well, I don't want to make the same mistake I made last year. I used the hair restorer for floor polish.
What happened?
Every time I swept the floor, I had to part it in the middle.
Well, I'll just sit here and finish my knitting until you get through.
What you making?
Well, that's a surprise. I'm making you a birthday present.
What is it?
It's a secret.
Oh, what is it? I won't tell me.
Clem, you're a sap.
I'm a jerk, too.
Now, how can you be a jerk and a sap, too?
I lead a double life. Hey, come on, Daisy June. Tell me, what you making?
Well, I'm knitting you some underwear, Clem. You want to see them?
Underwear for me? Let's see them.
Okay, there.
Gee, zoot snuggies.
Say, Clem, you know, this room would look better if you took that wash tub off and down the mantle.
Well, okay, I'll climb up there and get it off and down.
Well, throw it down, Clem. Be careful you don't fall.
Suppose you let go of it, wasn't there?
Are you hurt?
No, I always wrap my ears around my head like a turban. Hey, get loaded of the dude that's coming up the house. He sure looks funny, don't he? Look at this. No toes.
He's a wearing shoes.
You?
Clem, his toes are inside them things.
What's the matter? Is he ashamed of them? Howdy.
Howdy, I'm selling soap.
What's it?
Well, that's that stuff you wash with. You know, it takes the dirt off.
No kidding. Boy, what they won't think of next. Won't you come in?
Well, thanks.
Well,
You're just back from feeding the pigs, ain't you?
Yeah, how'd you know?
Never mind, I'll just open the window. Now, this here bath soap smells as sweet as a rose. Would you like to take a bath with some?
Take a bath? You kidding? This ain't April.
Clem, stop talking like that. Why don't you go take a bath? Just figure it's part of your spring cleaning.
Okay, give me this soap. It won't burn, will it?
Oh, brother, not that soap. It's made of coconut oils and vegetables.
Well, I'll just sip it. I'll just go in here into the bathroom and try it out. I'll get off these clothes. My hat, my overcoat, my vest, my coat, my vest, my coat. Well, Daisy June, you remember that windbreaker I lost last winter?
Yes?
I just found it. Now for a shower. Boy, there's nothing like a good cold shower. Oh, feel like a new man.
Well, Clem, how do you like that soap?
Tastes pretty good.
Now, wait a minute. You ain't eating that, are you?
You said it was made out of vegetables, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I ain't letting no good food go down no drain pipe in times like this, brother.
Are you all right?
Sure, I'm all right. Didn't hurt me. But now I know what they mean when they sing, "I'm forever blowing bubbles."
Spring cleaning. Did you hear what happened at Deadeye out in Poison Gulch last week?
No.
And I said, yes, the program it in right there.
So what happened?
Well, well, it says here, they were all sitting around in the Red Devil Saloon when someone decided they should clean up the town.
Hey, piano player, stop that, will you? Stop that! Oh, come on, piano player, stop! All right, brother, you asked for it. How do you like that? I had to shoot the piano, too. Okay, now let's get back to this card game. What are you holding there, Clem?
Slim? Who?
Slim, what are you
got? Six aces. What have you got?
Six aces. Well, what do you know? It's a tie.
Now, wait a minute. What's that card up your sleeve?
Up my sleeve?
Yeah.
Well, lucky for me, another ace. I win.
Hiya, Deadeye. How's my little sweetie pie today?
Well, monotonous Maggie. How you been?
Swell. I've been home making myself pretty for you.
Yeah.
Remember them circles you used to have under my eyes?
Yeah.
Well, look now.
Great ball of fire triangles.
Well, ain't you gonna kiss me?
No, I'm busy cheating at cards. Besides, I kissed you last night, didn't I?
Yeah, but look, my lips are all pulled out straight again now. Oh, Deadeye, why don't you make love to me like Charles Boyer?
You want me to make love like Charles Boyer, huh? Okay. Come with me to the Casbah, Mustel. Come with me to the Casbah. Come with me.
You thought I should come with you to the Casbah?
Yeah.
You don't love me no more.
Now, I wish you'd stop crying, gal. You're putting my Raleigh cigarette out. Of course I love you, Mag. Why, I'm crazy about your little scrub nose.
No, Deadeye, you mean snub. I got a snub nose.
Okay, but if I was you, I'd scrub my snub. You know, gal, every time I look at you...
Yes?
I wish I hadn't.
Every time I look at you, goose pimples go up and down my backbone.
Goose pimples, huh? We'll grab them. These are meatless days, you know.
Don't like me. I'm just like Hedy Lamarr. We're both women, aren't we?
Yeah. Beer and champagne both come in bottles, too.
Hi, fellas.
Well, get a load of the blimp that just floated in. Boy, would Lieutenant Bill like to drop a blockbuster like you. Well, what you doing, stranger?
Howdy, stranger. My name's Beanpole.
Beanpole? Well, you're the fattest beanpole I ever saw.
Yep, the beans never grew out of me. Hey, who are you?
I'm Deadeye, the toughest cowboy in the West. I stand 8'2" in my stocking feet.
How tall are you with shoes on?
Who's got shoes nowadays?
You look kind of run down to me.
Listen to the man, will you? Why, you know them big construction companies that build them big roads through the hot desert?
Yes.
You know them great big boulders have to be broken into little bitty pieces?
Yes.
You know all that tar and asphalt has to be stamped and pounded till it's flat?
Yes.
I paint the white lines down the middle of the road.
Well, my, my, who's this little creature I see here?
She does that every time she wants a lump of sugar.
I'd like to know you better, little lady. Pull up my knee and sit down.
Okay, where is it?
Say, what brings you to Poison Gulch?
Deadeye, I'm here to clean up this place.
Oh, wait a minute, that's my job.
Oh, Deadeye, what did you ever do to clean up this town?
Well, I've done a lot. You know that dirty old bank with all that filthy money with them germs on it?
Yeah.
Cleaned it out last night.
It's about time somebody cleaned out this town.
By golly, you're right. We'll get together and throw out every dirty crook and every dirty politician that lives here. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Here, put me down. Now listen, there's dirtier crooks in this town besides me. Hey, I gotta think fast, Maggie. I wonder what Gene Autry would do in a spot like this.
He'd throw away his guns, roll up his sleeves, and give them the worst licking of their lives.
Yeah. Wonder what Baby Sandy would do in the same spot.
numbskull knows all about cleanups. He's out in the backyard washing his face in the basin.
This is the way you wash your face, wash your face, wash your face.
Why, hello there, Newt. What are you washing your face in the backyard for?
Oh, I have to. It's my wife taking a bath standing up.
A bath standing up? Why doesn't she sit down?
Well, she can't. You see, I've got a fleet of toy battle boats in the tub. And yesterday she sat on the submarine.
Oh. Submarine, huh?
Yeah.
Well, whether it's some soldier, some sailor, or submarine, they all agree on Raleigh's. Because smokers know that Endo Raleigh's goes everything to make them the very best cigarette you can buy. Yes, you get better tobaccos in Raleigh's, and you get a better blend of tobaccos, too.
Well, I got them all ready to dry off. Now, hand me the towel, will you?
Sure, here you are.
Oh, boy, does that feel good. Pardon me while I do it behind my ears.
Go right ahead, because here's good news for you. Raleigh's exclusive blend gives you a richer taste and flavor. A smooth, mellow mildness that no other cigarette can quite match. And no other cigarette can match Raleigh's for extra value.
Boy,
either.
Am I clean. Nobody will ever recognize me if I keep on.
Oh, yes. Raleigh's give you valuable premium coupons. Remember, redeemable as well for war stamps and cash. Now, to get the most from the cigarettes you smoke, always ask for Raleigh's. Raleigh cigarettes.
Then we have a lady and her little boy. Cleaning house is really something for her, especially with Junior helping. So, Harriet, you be my mother, and I'll be the mean little kid.
Junior, listen, Mother's busy cleaning the attic, and I want you to be good today. Promise me, will you?
Well, I've been good. This morning I could have bitten that little boy next door, but I used me willpower, and I didn't do it. Well,
that's wonderful, Junior.
Yeah, but if he ever puts down that baseball bat, look out.
What time is it out there by the clock, Junior?
I will go see. I will see what time it is.
Well,
will...
Junior?
Well, the widow hand is on 4, and the big hand is on the widow hand.
Well, that ought to be easy. What time do you think it is?
Time I stop putting glue on the widow hand. Oh, look, there's me basketball. I think I will play some ping pong.
Ping pong with a basketball?
Sure, what? Ping pong.
Just for that young man, you can pay for that window out of your allowance each week.
Well, now, that's mighty neighborly of you.
Look at this place. Now, I ought to paddle you a good
bit. Oh, don't do that, Mummy, because after all, you're the pretty mummy. You're so nice and so young, and you get prettier every day, you do.
Well, that's a nice compliment, Junior.
Yeah.
All right, run along.
Boy, that Pinky Barnum sure knew what he was talking about. Oh, somebody at the door. We had got company. Every day we got company. Is that you, Pop?
No, I'm the junk man.
Oh.
Have you got any old newspapers or magazines or rags or old iron or maybe old bottles? Well, do you have any old bags?
Only under me widow eye.
Hello, Mr. Junk Man. Junior, you go into the next room.
No, you let me stay or I will hit myself on the head with this book.
Junior, stop hitting yourself with that book. Do you want to lose my place? Now get into the other room.
Now you let me stay or I will tell.
You'll tell what?
You'll help me, I will blab everything.
What?
I will tell everybody used to be an Indian princess with a medicine show.
Oh, Junior, that's not true.
Oh, no. Hey, Pocahontas, here comes the crowd.
Quick, Doc, hand me curacrum and me fetish. That does it.
Oh, you hit me. You knocked all me baby teeth out. You knocked all me baby teeth out.
Junior, you don't have any baby teeth anymore.
I know. You knock them all out.
Lady, I'm still here. Do you have any junk?
Oh, why, yes. You really came just in time. I'm cleaning out the attic. Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I'll come right up and I'll help you bring the stuff down.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll lead the way. Sure. It's rather dark up there.
Oh, I don't mind.
You see what happened, fellas, while you was working?
Junior, you're fishing for a whipping.
Something tells me I'm using the right bait, too, boy.
Meow.
Oh, there he
that
is.
Cat. Meow. Junior, put the cat outside.
Okay, come on, cat, come on. Here, don't you scratch me. Come here. I'll rub your fur the wrong way for that, boy. Whoa! Woo! How do you like that? He can spit right through his hide. Boy, careful, cat. You get off that table before you knock that little lamp over. Come on. Oh.
Junior?
Cat,
he...
No, no, you don't. I'm getting tired of you breaking things and blaming it on the cat. Now you're going to get it.
Give me back your neck. Give me back.
Well, I guess I cried wolf once too often. Cat, you as cook. Come in, sit down, will you? I want to have a man-to-man talk to you. A man-to-cat talk, rather. We is true. You've outlived your usefulness with me. I used to depend on you, but I don't know. You're just no good no more. I'm sorry. I'll keep you on the feeding list, but from now on, you got to catch your own mice.
Phone.
Oh,
I'll
boy,
get it.
Now's my chance to get to that junk man up in the attic. Oh, boy. Hey, look at all this stuff in this trunk over here.
Yeah, I wonder what it is.
No, that's me mummy's wedding outfit.
Oh, sure enough.
Yeah.
Dried flowers, bridal veil, handcuffs, bear trap, and shotgun. Wait a minute. I wonder what that's doing in there.
I don't know. I asked me mummy once, and she just closed the trunk and says, oh, wouldn't you like to know?
Hey, wait a minute. Here's something I really want.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. We couldn't sell that.
Oh, I'll give you a nickel for it.
No, I sold.
Oh, boy, am I lucky. Why, you can't get stuff like this anymore.
Tell about
well, so stuff. Long, little
goodbye,
fella.
Goodbye.
Hurry.
What happened to the junk man, Junior?
He gave me a nickel and went away.
What did you sell him?
Just a case of that old canned goods.
Congratulations to the generous Americans who have made it possible for our boys far away from the comforts of home in Africa and Guadalcanal to have a large quantity of our cigarettes, which bear the Union label, donated to them free by the Carpenters District Council of Washington, D.C. Also, congratulations to the Teamsters Local number 99 of Miles City, Montana, for their generous gift of our cigarettes to the sailors patrolling the seas. And remember, we'll all be back again next Tuesday at the same time. Red Skelton, Ozzie Nelson and his orchestra, Harriet Hilliard, and yours truly, Truman Bradley. Meanwhile, listen to the Tommy Dorsey Show tomorrow night over most of these same stations. Until next Tuesday, then.
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now. Thanks for listening and help the war effort. Plant a victory garden.
Red Skelton is heard on this program through the courtesy of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. This program has been broadcast to the armed forces overseas.
Coming in from a high-speed trial run, a new Navy boat edges gracefully up to a mooring.
Great work, Skipper. How'd she handle?
Well, I jumped out. Say, you really planned the ship there, mister. Handled beautifully. Made the trip so fast, I'm still rocking a bit.
Well, then, try my simmer-down prescription, a pipe load of Sir Walter Raleigh.
Why, thanks. I smoke Raleigh myself. Sort of my first mate, you might say. I find it's just the thing to help me relax.
Sure does. When I'm working over the drawing board, a couple of puffs of Raleigh just seem to sort of take the pressure off.
Guess a lot of fellas feel the same way.
Right you are, Skipper. So take this tip, all you pipe smokers. Tonight, try Raleigh, the quality pipe tobacco of America. Sir Walter Raleigh.
Well, our time here for this week is over, but we're back next week with more great old-time radio shows, and I hope you can join me. I'm Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.